Bhagavad Gita is a book of mankind's collected experience of and answers to life's most basic questions. Who I am? From where do I come? What is my purpose and destiny? And most practically, how do I find happiness? These podcasts originate in the lectures of Neil Bhatt, a disciple of Swami Chinmayananda. They are presented here in 20 to 30 minute segments, each covering three of the Gita's 701 verses. Welcome to Gita Wisdom for Daily Living.
So far, we have seen the beginning of Chapter 10. Chapter 10, Vibhuti Yoga. The glories of the Lord, or Vibhuti Visishta Bhuti. We have seen in the previous chapters the identity card of the Lord, who I am. I am the source of all beings. The central idea of this segment of the chapter. In the previous six chapters, we have learned who we are, and now we contemplate on ourselves. Is that when we contemplate on ourselves, what is that self? The self which is the source of all beings. So now, to make us clear for us what to contemplate on, this chapter starts with basically making us understand that it is not an intellectual exercise. So the first thing Bhagavan said is, even the devas and rishis do not know my beginning or my nature. And the reason for that, Bhagavan said, because I am the source of all devas and rishis. Therefore, devas and rishis do not have the intellectual ability to know its own source. We have seen the standard example we take all the time. You cannot see the source of light in the light of that bulb. The same way we are intellectually trying to find our own self, it has a limitation of the instrument. Intellect is a product, our intellect is a product of our ignorance. Our ignorance about the unity of all things creates our intellect in saying, this is me and that's the world, and I am the one who is understanding the world. So our intellect has a limitation of creating a duality between I and the world. Therefore, Bhagavan says, even the rishis in the devas, which we have seen is symbolically saying the seven elements, the mind, intellect, and the five elements of perception. And the devas and the five sense organs have limitation of not knowing its own source. So now you see you have to go beyond that. So the one who knows me is the unborn and anadi and beginningless. Anything I know in this world through my intellect has a beginning and the end. The world, the empires, the people, things, beings, no matter how old it is, but it has some beginning and end. So our world is the world of mortals. In other words, everything comes into being at one point of time and it will vanishes into nothingness. Nothingness from that existence. And it's a continuous change. He said, go beyond that, and the source of all this must be something which is beginningless and have no end and no beginning. One who clearly understands the source of all these things and beings in this world must be beginningless and unborn. He says, such a person will be freed from his sins. Papa vimuchyate. And papa, as we have said in this context, is impurities on my mind and intellect. That impurity which does not let me see the thing as is. We color our world through our own ideas and thoughts. So our world is basically projection of our mind and intellect. So somebody tells me, Neil, you live in Richmond, so you must be going to all those NASCAR races, you know, and they start discussing with me. I know nothing about it, you know. I didn't even know that their races takes place in Richmond. Okay? It's only when I had the hotel clients, they told me that NASCAR weekend is the biggest weekend for them because all rooms are 100% filled. And they charge about three times what they normally charge during that weekend. So now I know the importance of that. So, but before that, it didn't exist for me. See, in my world, NASCAR races have no place. In somebody's world, what I do has no place. So we create our world of this things and beings for our own transactions. Bhagavan says the one who goes beyond this will be freed from this impurities of mind, which limits our perception of our world. And then he will be completely free. Because now he says, the world I see is a transitory. It's constantly changing as my mind changes. My interest changed from NASCAR to museums. Then I will know all the museums. And well, before Santaramji started coming to this class, we did not know that VMFA has the largest collection of Asian art, right? So more our mind expands, the world expands. Bhagavan said, the one who expands his mind to a point to realize is that there is no beginning and end to this universe. And therefore, myself, which is part of this universe, has no beginning and the end. Verse 4 says, Buddhi, Jnana, Sammohaha, Kshama, Satyam, Damaha, Samaha. Now he enumerated all the qualities which I associate with this world. He said, well, okay, I can understand all of them, but I'll tell you, I know the divine qualities when I see one. When I see in people intellect, knowledge, asammohaha, non-delusion, kshama, forgiveness, satyam, truth, damaha, the control at the physical level. When I have a control on my actions, it's a dhamma. Feel like doing something, but I don't know. I feel like slapping you on, but knowing you're my boss, I control my deta dhamma. At the physical level, there is a control. Shamaha is the mental level control. Controlling my thoughts and my mind. My mind starts to wander away when I'm doing a Bhagavad Gita class. I bring it back and say, no, you can't do that right now. Can't think of a... That's a samaha. So it says damaha and samaha. All these, when I see, well, these are outwardly qualities which you cannot associate. And Bhagavan said, they all come from me. Only living being who is conscious about themselves can exhibit these qualities. These are the mental and intellectual qualities, Bhagavan says, only possible because of the pure consciousness is the basis of this all. It says, sukham dukham, sukha and dukkha. We only experience when we are alive. A person who is not alive, for him there is no sukha nor dukkha. If the consciousness or awareness about my situation makes me either happy or unhappy. When I'm not aware, there may be a great danger looming over Richmond right now. But we don't know about it, so we are happy. Once somebody says, but the meteor is traveling at the speed of the 4 times the speed of sound and now heading towards Richmond, and the target is going to be Glen Ellen. That's it, no Gita class. We'll all be saying, so where do we run away from here? Not knowing, we are in a complete bliss about any danger which is lurking out there. So Bhagavan said, sukham and dukham is created by my mind projections. Bhava, abhava. I exist or I don't exist. Even that, the very thought of my existence is only there when I'm conscious about it. Therefore, the riddle is, do you exist? We are in a deep sleep. How do you know that you exist when you're in deep sleep? You are not aware of it. But Vedanta says you are aware of it. Therefore, when you wake up, you can connect the two dots from the last night when you went to sleep and this morning. So, bhava abhava, being non-being, bhayam cha abhayam cha, the fear. And also fearlessness. The fear is also an emotion. So these are enumerating our intellectual and mental worlds. mental and intellectual manifestation in different people at different time. Then we continue to say ahimsa. Now the qualities, you know, ahimsa, non-injury, samatha, equanimity. This is how now I deal with the world based on my mental makeup. I may be a very wicked man and very obnoxious man, then I'm very injurious to others. But my mental qualities are that I forgive people and I look at them, and so then I'm an ahimsa, non-injury. I was just reading University of Virginia, the Vigor, the free magazine for ladies, singer Carrie Underwood. She has a few things about how she lives a healthy life. First thing is she's vegetarian. Was born and brought up on a farm. But she's the very idea, because most of the animals were my pets. And I couldn't think about the idea of eating my own pets. She became a vegetarian from the age of 12 or 13 or something. Animals are part of her world, and therefore she cannot see them. Any injury. We can only inflict injury on others when we are not aware that they're part of our world. Therefore, Bhagavan said ahimsa. As my identification expands, my sense of ahimsa will expand. We cannot really inflict injury on ourselves knowingly. You know, I may stumble on something and I may break my leg or break my tooth. That's a different story. But I don't purposely hurt myself, because I have that complete sense of identity with myself. So this ahimsa, it's not a great value because I learned from someone. It comes naturally to me, non-injury to myself. So is non-injury to people I love. So is non-injury to people I like. So is non-injury. It's only when when they are my enemies, then the ahimsa goes away. So the samatha, equanimity. I can see that in a different situation, people behave differently. So I keep that in mind and have equanimous attitude towards things and being. Tusti, contentment. Know the fickleness of this whole system which I live in. Someday we may be on the top of the world, the superpower, so then we have everything. And next day we are devalued to whatever. So. Nature of this universe, the nature of this world. So, tapaha, austerity, disciplines, I call it disciplines, you know. We do all this discipline because of my understanding of what myself is and how to make the most out of my life. You know. Danaha, charity, yasha, fame, and also apayashaha, and also infamy. Kabir said, Durijan niyare rakhiye angan kuti sabai, bin pani bin sabana nirmal kare sada. When people praise you, it's the most vulnerable situation you are in, because it inflates your ego. Swamiji used to say, when we used to do this Bada Puja, when people are holding your feet, you hold on to your guru's feet, because otherwise you will be completely out of control. There are all these thousands of people coming to wash my feet. He said, you can only control your ego by holding on to your guru's feet while people are holding to your feet. Because that's the most difficult thing for us. So, yasa and apiyasa, both are the manifestation of the same emotion about my awareness of myself and the world around me. Bhavanti bhava bhutanam matta eva prithak vidaha. All these different types of emotions and bhava arises in people. Buddhi, jnana, sammoha, I know everything, I feel like I'm intelligent. All these bhavas which happens in people, which differentiates us from each other. Someone is very non-injurious and other is very violent. These people are good, these people are not good. Know that all these bhavas are born out of me. All these different types of emotions and mental moods, which makes different people different from each other, they all come out of my being. It's there because of me, the pure consciousness. the self without any kind of superimposition on it. The Hindi song of Pani Re Pani Tera Rang Kaisa, Jisme Milaye Lage Us Jaisa. What is the color of water? You say, whatever you see through it. So what is the nature of ourself? Whatever is you superimpose on it. When you superimpose a good quality, it becomes good, and superimpose a bad quality, it becomes bad. So Bhagavan said, all these qualities comes out of me alone. It's a Maharshaya Saptapurve Chatvaro Manavastata Madbhava Manasa Jata Esham Loka Ima Prajaha. And I said, how all this you can now relate to the world of creation, or how the world came into being? He said, the seven great rishis. We all try to say, well, what's your origin? What's your gotra? The Brahmin very proudly saying, I'm a Kashyap gotra. That because my ancestors come from Kashyap rishi. We all want to trace our origin. Knowing actually is a futile exercise. But Bhagavan said, no, that's not really the idea. Idea is the seven rishis are the original source of the world of humanity. Then there are four ancients, Purve Chatvaraha, four ancients. And then there are Manus. So when we look at the origin of the human race, this is how we Hindus look at it. Brahmaji, out of his mind, created four Sanat Kumaras. So he had four sons, Brahmaji. And then from those four Sanat Kumaras, the world of beings came out, the human beings came out. Or you can look at another thing, there are seven rishis, and the seven rishis, their lineage of that became the humanity as we know. So, whichever way you look at it, Bhagavan said they are all madbhava. They have the similar qualities as mine. And we have seen this is the explanation of the creation of this world, as we know. Creation which I create in my life, and I'm being an architect, can relate very easily, you know, because we consider ourselves to be creative beings. How do a creation come about? Somebody says there's this piece of land, now Neil, we need a building here. The first thing I do is I start thinking about what the building should be like. So I create from my mind and intellect an imagination of what it should be like. And then with the rajoguna, or that act on it, you know, draw it up, do all the details, research on how it will function, what is the quality of the material, and then implement it, which comes into being in the building. So the two things, obviously, we have seen. My efficient cause of my know-how of how to imagine a building and then create the building on the paper. And then you create that out of that a real building by using a material cause, which is the building material and the contractor who knows how to build it. When this efficient cause and material cause come together, it creates this. So Bhagavan said that this Mahat, when it identifies with its intellect, it becomes Ahankar. So this Mahat, which is the cosmic intellect associated with the Ahankar, and then the five elements it wants to use that as the material cause, all created out of its own self. Pure consciousness identifying with the pure cosmic intellect and cosmic ego creates the five elements to play around with it. Just like in my daydreaming, first I thought about an idea, maybe if I can run for a president in the next election, because it looked like neither the Republican Party has any good guy. It looks like Obama is toast also. I may be the guy who can be an independent. If that idea picks up strength, idea comes to all of us, but it doesn't do anything. It's a very important idea. Idea comes and goes away. It has no value. But if I constantly think about it, and then keep affirming that that's a right thing to do because there is nobody else who can do this better than I can do. That idea becomes a very central thought in my life. And then I'll start looking, well, who can support me? And start talking to people, committees. And then eventually you can become a president like Obama did. We didn't know who Obama was. But the thought, the power of that thought created the ahankar in him that I can do this. That propelled him to act, and he found his field of actions to fulfill that thought. Bhagavan, in the same way, the pure consciousness, identifying with the cosmic intellect, creates ego. This intellect and the ahankar finds its own field in the five great elements. So it creates the five great elements to play with. This seven becomes the whole source of this universe. My ideas and my ego work in this world, creates the world I built. My world of my business. I built my business. Very proudly says, self-made man. I came here with $8 and look what I have created now. That's my ego, my intellect, my world. So Bhagavan said, the Sapta Rishis, that's how those seven Rishis were the origin of this universe. Or the Chatvaro, four ancients are, the very first thought has no value whatsoever. The second thought reaffirms the first thought, if it is in the same line. And then these two has a power to create two more thoughts of its own. Now it's a four thoughts. Just like the cell dividing into a human being. And now it has become the mind, intellect, ahankar and chitta. That same ability to think the first thought has now gathered momentum and become mind. When the flow of thoughts in the same direction creates mind. Out of this mind, then the ability saying, this is right and that's wrong. When we become decisive, this is right, it becomes the intellect. Is it day or night right now? And I can say, well, it feels like day, but let me make sure. Because right now there are no windows in this room. And once I see a daylight, it's day. It's intellect. Thought became mind by gathering a momentum, become decisive, it became intellect. Then it says, who came to this conclusion that it's day to day? I did. That's ahankar. So it created ahankar in it. And then it says, I am the thinking entity, the chitta. This four aspect of thinking ability in a conscious being creates the entire world of that being. My world is driven by my mind, my intellect, my ahankar and my chit. Therefore, when I identify that becomes my world, the four Sanat Kumaras, you can say, they created the world. Or the Manus, the beginning of this thought, the beginning of what a human being is all about. All their Madbhava, they have same qualities that I do. That is, all the qualities in the universal being with the Mahat and the cosmic intellect, cosmic ego, and cosmic five elements are at the micro level at this. And therefore, Manasa Jata, they are created out of my mind, the cosmic mind. The seven Rishis or four ancients, as we have discussed, they all came out of the universal mind. Esam loka ima prajaha. And all these creatures in this world are came out of them. So the idea is to say, I am the source of all beings. We'll stop here.
Om sarve bhavantu sukhina. Sarve santu niramayaha. Sarve bhadrani pashyantu, ma kaschid dukkha bhag bhavet. Om. Shantihi, Shantihi, Shantihi. Harihi Om, Shri Gurubhyo Namaha, Harihi Om.